Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of May 2015. It's USDA WASDE Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll explore those numbers with U of I Ag economist John Newton and then take a look at the reaction with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Steve Platt will be here, too, to take up not only the WASDE, but more importantly, the agricultural energy numbers. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota will update us on conditions in their regions. It's a really busy day, so stay with us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this USDA report day. May corn down a penny and a quarter at $3.57. July at $3.61, a half higher. September at $3.66, up a half. And December corn up a half cent at $3.76. March futures of next year at $3.87.5, three quarters of a cent higher. Soy complex, May beans, 16 cents lower, $9.67. The settlement price, the high there today, by the way, at $9.91.25, the low at $9.67. So finish down on its low. July at $9.55. 5.5 down 18.5. The August at 9.48, 18.5 lower. November beans ranged from 9.30¾ to 9.55½. Settled on that 9.30¾ low, down 18¾. Actually, a half cent lower for that for the low of the day. January at 9.37, down 18.5 cents in the soybeans. Bean meal at 302.50, down 9.60. Bean oil 23 cents lower on the afternoon. Chicago soft red winter wheat at $4.80½, down 0.5 cent. For the day, and the July hard red winter wheat at 5.07¾, down a penny on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby June at 151, 2.5, up 77.5 cents. The August there at 149, 27.5, up 47.5. And feeder cattle finished the day in the May contract up 72.5 cents at 217.50. August down $1.32½ at 216.10. Lean hogs from Chicago settlement price May contract $81.17½, up 47.5 cents in the June at $84.95, 67.5 cents higher. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online and all the WASDE numbers at willag.org.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil at $60.56 a barrel, finished, trading now at $1.31 higher. Heating oil for the day, or diesel fuel, at $1.99½, 4 9/10 higher. Gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $2.03¾ per gallon, up 4 6/10 cents. Natural gas for the day is currently trading the nearby contract at $2.90¼. That's 9 1/10 of a cent higher. Ethanol futures in the June futures at $1.63½, a penny and 6/10 lower. That, of course, is a settlement price. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down around 6 points at 18,035. Gold at around $1,192, up about $9 for the day. And the dollar in the index at 94.6 is down 0.5 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Sunny skies, a high of 62 today. West-northwest winds at about 18 miles an hour. They will gust all the way to 25 tonight. Clear, a low of 42. Again, a west-northwest wind at 5 to 11. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 67. Partly cloudy on Wednesday evening and 49. Thursday, sunny and 71. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms, 60% chance. Friday, a 40% chance. They'll go to a high of 78 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 63. And Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of near 80 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. John Newton, ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, joining us in studio to take up the world agricultural supply and demand estimates we released this morning. Let's start with the old crop numbers. USDA changed the ending stocks just a bit this time around for old crop. Tell me about that first.
Well, if you look at let's break it down. Let's talk about both corn and soybeans here. Just on the soybean side, USDA did reduce ending stocks by 20 million bushels to close out the marketing year at 350 million bushels. And how they got to that was two adjustments, really. One, to the export. They increased exports by 10 million bushels. We all have followed the story all marketing year. The soybean exports have been red hot. They were at 1790. WASD raised them up to 1800. And then they also raised the crush from 1795 to 1805. So that's an increase of 10 million bushels there. And if you look at recent National Oilseed Processor Association crush numbers, they have come in a lot stronger than anticipated. Now, there's still a lot of work to do to get to that 1805. But those are the two elements that they adjusted on that old crop to get to the new 350 ending stocks.
And for corn?
On corn, the adjustments were a little bit more surprising. First of all, a lot of people were anticipating some adjustment to feed and residual, given that we're in the middle of probably the worst bird flu outbreak in the U.S. history. And we didn't see any adjustment to feed and residual use at all. So USDA left feed and residual use unchanged. They did change food, seed, and industrial use. They lowered that by 48 million bushels. And then we've seen some pretty strong corn export numbers in recent weeks. And so they increased corn exports by 25 million bushels. So that netted out to a 24 million bushel increase in corn ending stocks to 1851.
And then if you roll all those numbers forward, what do the 2015-16 figures look like?
Well, we'll stay on corn then. And so USDA, I think a lot of people, given the pace of planting, expected increased yield on corn. USDA left the yield number unchanged from the Ag Outlook at 166.8. We bring in the carryover. We look at increased feed and residual use for 15-16, increased exports on corn. And that gets us to a lower ending stocks number for next year at 1746. That's the current projection today. And on the price side, that's the key, right? What's that mean to corn prices?
It should mean a higher price because it's lower than this year.
You know, I'm a trained economist, and that's what I would think. Increased consumption, lower ending stocks, higher prices. But that's actually not what USDA did. They still have corn marketing year average prices right about that 350 mark for 15-16, and that's 15 cents below where they expect the marketing year price to be for 14-15. So, you know, a price decline in corn despite higher use, that is somewhat surprising.
Did they explain why?
That long silence there was no answer. There's no answer as to why. You know, I think the intuition is that just there haven't been people really forward selling the corn at these prices. And so what direction do we go? They haven't sold at higher prices. The marketing opportunities haven't been there for higher corn prices recently. So USDA kind of leaves it open on the bottom end for prices to continue to decline.
Soybeans have a pretty good size drop in price for them. And that's based on 350 million bushel carryout this year. And next year they'll have a much larger carryout.
Yeah, you know, soybean, we're on the back again. We got record planting and record harvest for 15-16 on beans. They've got yield coming in, again, unchanged from that Ag Outlook number at 46 bushels per acre. We have that 350 carryout. Total production for the 15-16 marketing year is 3.85 billion bushels of soybeans. And then when you take into consideration the consumption numbers, they're increasing crushings from 1805 to 1825 for 15-16. But then also like we said, we're in the middle of a great export year on beans. Can we do it back-to-back? The USDA says no, we're not going to have another banner year in soybean exports. So they've reduced exports from 1,800 to 1,775 for the 15-16 marketing year. All combined, it looks like we're going to build stocks in beans next year by about 150 million bushels. And that leads to about a dollar decline in that bean price for the marketing year.
That one probably more believable.
Yeah. Supply and demand. Somehow it works for soybeans, but unknown for corn while we're not seeing that.
Thanks for the update, John.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That, of course, is John Newton, ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you'd like to hear that interview again, it's already posted to our website. I recorded him in about the last 2 hours or so. That's at willag.org. Up there you'll find shortly, in fact, the next interview as well. Wayne Nelson is on the phone line. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Wayne, USDA released its WASDE figures. And I suppose most people thought that they were pretty close, but next year's season's average price at $3.50 a bushel, given that there's more than 100 million bushels less expected to be around next fall than this fall, seems a little odd. What do you think?
Well, it does, Todd, and I mean that's one of the reasons that maybe we saw corn hold a little strength today. I think the one reason has to be that we continue to feel real pressure on our export from Russia, from Ukraine, and also from South America with their increased stocks, you know, this year and coming into next year with good growing seasons, too. So I guess that's, you know, a good part of what they're looking at with the psychology of the whole thing there. But, you know, our traders sort of told us that it wasn't as bearish as the beans were today, because they spoke with their money and their checkbooks today there and said that that 500 million carry out on the beans was a lot more bearish than what the corn was.
That number did look fairly large in size. What do you think of all those numbers? They did lower USDA's carry out for this year to 350, but still a 500 million bushel carry out for next year when we get to the beans.
Yeah, I think, you know, and at the end of everything that was said was, and we've still got a lot of weather to go through, that, and that the main change is going to be in the weather forecast for the summer. You know, they were talking that there was a lot of people that thought that they should have raised the corn yield by the timing of planting and the percentage done in the calendar. They said they didn't because more of it was dependent on summer weather. And I have to agree with the WASDE people at this point in time that it's nice to be in early, and it's good. We've got a great start, but it's not time to raise that number yet.
USDA, in fact, did write a little note in the WASDE figures and reports about that, just as you explained. Going forward, does this change very much in your mind for either marketing new or old crop corn and soybeans?
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, as we look at the prices for next year, and you see a $9 by the beans compared to the $10.05 for this year, that maybe we don't sit around and wait on $10 for sure on that, when looking that way. But I think, you know, the trade we saw today tells us that we're probably in the trading range on the corn, especially the July corn, something in the 350 to 380 range for right now, and probably the 360 to 385 range on the corn, depending on how the weather develops from here, Todd. So, you know, the upper range of that way, it's time to look at some puts and sons, some calls, and set a basis that way.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of the 10th day of May, that'd be Sunday, 75% of the corn around the nation had been planted. The normal five-year rolling average is 57%. 29% of that crop is said to be emerged. The rolling five-year average is 24%. 31% of the soybean crop is in the ground. The rolling five-year average is 20%. Now, here's an update from the state statisticians in Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 10th, 2015. After the previous week's near-record corn planting, wet weather hindered spring planting during the past week. Statewide, there were only 2.5 days suitable for fieldwork. Operators in eastern Iowa reported weeds were getting ahead of the sprayers as they were unable to get into the fields. Activities during the week included planting, fertilizer and herbicide application, and seedbed preparation. It was a warm week across Iowa with frequent precipitation. Temperature extremes varied from a Saturday morning low of 33 degrees at Sibley to afternoon highs of 84 degrees at Muscatine on Wednesday. Rain was widespread this week, with rain totals varying from only 0.09 inches at Hartford in Warren County to 4.46 inches at Lost Nation in Clinton County. The statewide average precipitation was 0.98 inches, nearly matching the weekly normal. There were scattered reports of high winds and large hail on Thursday. More intense severe weather occurred on Sunday, particularly in Calhoun County. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch depth were averaging from the upper 50s in northwest Iowa to the lower 60s across the southeast. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 93% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 88% adequate to surplus. 83% of the corn crop has been planted, approximately 1 week ahead of both the last year and normal. Southwest Iowa lagged behind with just 64% planted, compared to the highest district, northwest Iowa, where 96% of the corn was in the ground. Corn emerge reached 29% just over 1 week ahead of last year. Corn emergence was described as excellent, with reports of high stand counts in some areas. Soybean planting reached 30% complete, 5 days ahead of 2014, and 3 days ahead of average. Muddy lots have been reported by some cattle producers in southwest Iowa. Meanwhile, poultry producers remain concerned about their flocks given the recent spread of avian influenza. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Fieldwork continued across Illinois until rains came late in the week. The entire state received above average rainfall, and northern areas in particular were well above normal rainfall for the week. The state received an average of 1.73 inches of rain, more than 0.75 inches above normal. Temperatures averaged more than 9 degrees above the norm. Corn planting increased by 19 points to 88% complete, compared to 73% 1 year ago and 64% for the 5-year average. 42% of corn acres have emerged, compared to 32% last year and 36% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 1% of acres are poor, 17 fair, 65 good, and 17% of acres are in excellent condition. Soybeans planted reached 33% complete, compared to 23% 1 year ago and 19% normally. In other crops, 19% of sorghum acres are planted, 93% of oats are planted, 4% of alfalfa hay first cutting is complete, and the wheat crop is now 36% headed. The condition of the wheat crop is now 10% very poor or poor, 33% fair, and 57% of wheat acres are in good or excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Minnesota corn planting neared completion despite only 4 days suitable for field work. Over one-third of the soybean acres was planted during the week, and that ties for the most planted in this week in 30 years. Soybean planting now stands at 70% complete. 82% of the spring wheat acreage was emerged, that's 31 days ahead of the previous year, and the first spring wheat condition was rated 0% very poor, 1% poor, 38% fair, 51% good, and 10% excellent. Recent precipitation helped improve topsoil moisture supplies. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 16% short, 81% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 32% short, 64% adequate, and none surplus. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Temperatures increased, pushing farmers into overdrive for spring planting this week. Average temperatures ranged from 65 to 73 degrees and from 8 degrees to 15 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.69 inches, with a statewide average of 0.99 inches. Winter wheat jointed was 74% complete this week, compared to 70% last year and 82% five-year average. Winter wheat headed was 15% complete, compared to 9% last year and 25% five-year average. Corn was 52% planted this week, compared to 55% last year and 52% five-year average. Corn emerged was 11% complete, compared to 12% last year and 27% five-year average. Farmers continued to plant corn and soybean fields while the weather was warm prior to the rain that came towards the end of the week. Warm temperatures throughout the state led to quicker emergence in planted fields. Winter wheat conditions have improved and are growing well. Rains towards the end of the week led to some ponding in fields and muddy conditions for livestock. Herbicide applications have begun for weed control. Other activities for the week included tilling, applying fertilizer and pesticides, clearing fences, and hauling grain. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies markets. Steve Platt is here. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Steve, thanks much for joining us. USDA released the WASDE World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. You're much closer to the action there in Chicago. How did traders take that this morning on the floor and, of course, near you?
Well, certainly I thought the corn numbers were pretty neutral, but the bean numbers, particularly on the global side, were somewhat negative. And certainly was reflected in some of the price action we saw in the beans. Certainly the corn did not really respond. I think a lot of that was already reflected in the market to an extent.
All right. Now turn your attention to the energies. What do you see there, and what have you been following closely?
Well, certainly there's a lot of things coming up in June in terms of, first of all, the renewable fuel standards will be announced on June 1 per consent decree. That will set out some of the proposed volume requirements for biodiesel in terms of both for soybean oil and also ethanol. That, I think, is certainly a key thing for the ag markets. And also, you are looking at the OPEC meeting coming up on the 4th, along with the nuclear negotiations with Iran by the major Western powers, also coming to a head in late June. So there's a lot of risk premium being put into this market, which I think has to be respected. We've seen the market itself go up between 11% in crude and as much as 15% on some of the products over the past month. Those trends probably still maybe continue to some extent on the upside. You're still facing somewhat a burdensome supply situation, which I think has to also be watched closely as well.
Steve, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Steve Platt, of course, is with Archer Financial Services, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Nutty Fudge Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, according to the International Dairy Foods Association, the first ice cream advertisement appeared in the New York Gazette. In 1934, dust shut out the sun over the East Coast for 5 hours, and dust is reported settling on ships 300 miles out to sea in what was the first nationwide environmental disaster. The Dust Bowl days of the 1930s were caused by the clearing of virgin prairie with plows, long drought, and high winds. and it resulted in the formation of the USDA Soil Conservation Service. In 1991, a new cancer drug was announced, which was found in the bark of a rare tree in the Pacific Northwest. And in 1994, Roy J. Pluckett died. He was the inventor of Teflon in 1938. Its invention was an accident. During World War II, the new polymer was applied as a corrosion-resisting coating to protect metal equipment used in the production of radioactive material. The first non-stick cookware using Teflon was sold in 1960. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day on the line to take a look at the weather forecast. He's at Day Weather out in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thanks so much for being with us. It's been wet. Actually, quite a bit of rain in our area. And the last I heard, our expectations were for this pattern to continually show up. What do you think?
Yeah, the pattern that we're in, we've been kind of stuck in for the last 3 weeks, and all indications suggest it's going to hang on for at least another couple. We're seeing a lot of activity off the west coast, come in and then migrate across the Rockies and Plain States and draw up a lot of Gulf of Mexico moisture, and then that moisture just is coming up, producing showers and thunderstorms. You're going to see this pattern right on through at least through Memorial Day weekend, if not before then. So a lot of what we've experienced, just expect more of it. In between the rain events, temperatures are going to be warm, nothing over-the-top warm, very close to average. And as these systems come through, the last a day or two with the rain and thunderstorms before there's a bit of a break. So it's going to stay moist. Now, there have been some areas, Todd, that have really gotten some beneficial rains that really needed it. Many areas of Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska, the Dakotas, getting amounts of rain in the last couple of weeks that have been 2 to 6 inches worth.
Minnesota, too?
Minnesota as well has gotten into the action, and even some areas of North Dakota. We still have some of those northern plains that could use some more rain, but they've got some opportunity coming up this weekend and beyond. The southeast U.S. has been drier. I think they're going to see some precipitation starting to move in as well, but if there's a dry pocket, it's been the southeast states.
If you had to venture a guess across the Corn Belt states for corn and soybean sowing, will farmers be able to get back in the field between these episodes, or is there enough moisture and rainfall that it's just going to be too wet?
I think there's a good opportunity to get in between events. And the areas that are going to be the biggest concern of being too wet will be the Western Corn Belt. I don't think the rain is going to be nearly as extensive in, let's say, places like Ohio, into the eastern areas of the Great Lakes. But the further west you go, Illinois, Iowa, southern Minnesota, Missouri, eastern Nebraska, those areas are going to be the most wet.
Have you been keeping an eye on the other areas of the northern hemisphere that are in the midst of the front end of their growing season as well? Someplace in China and or eastern Europe would be good.
Eastern Europe is going to be a little cool and a little wet. Eastern Europe rain chances are looking really good. I think they're a lot like what's going on in the U.S. right now. Wet and cool in many areas, not real warm. If we were to go over and take a look at China, their forecast is pretty wet, especially in the key growing areas of the central and the east. They're looking at an active weather pattern. So some Goldilocks weather, we'd like to call it right now, going on in the northern hemisphere. We're getting some episodes of rain and no real dry areas at the moment.
Thanks so much, Don, for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember to check out all the numbers from the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates released earlier today. They're up on our website along with all of the audio from today at willag.org. That's willag.org.